Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, January the
4th.
I knew it was January. I knew that much. And when I woke up this morning, I knew it was January. January the 4th, 2017. If you've still got Y2K stuff, you can go ahead and put that on a garage sale. Or give it to the Salvation Army or Goodwill. Because you're not going to need it anymore.
That seems like 100 years ago. That Y2K scare?
Ed Vitagliano joining me, and also Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, good morning to you, Abe.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
And Fred good. Jackson, news director for American Family News.
The only one here in short sleeve shirts. I'm just looking at Abe over there. He's from New Orleans. He's got a sweater and cap on.
I had a short sleeve shirt yesterday.
Hey, so I didn't have a sweater on yesterday. Congratulations to this glorious weather.
I tell you what, man, this weather. Whiplash that the whole country's experience. Well, I guess the whole country. I don't know. I just know in the South. Well, I think it's the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast too. It's swinging back and forth from 65 to 25, and it's just giving everybody.
Well, that's climate change for you.
Duly noted.
It changes.
How can we stop this?
Well,
climate change from
there's
taking
only,
effect.
Only one way to
How
stop
can we get it,
Tim?
To stop at 60 and stay there?
Well, we need to destroy the economy and go back to the Neolithic lifestyle where everyone lives in a cave. But, of course, now the government has to provide a
That's
cave
a good
for
campaign
everybody.
Message.
Yeah. Destroy the economy.
Your development. Destroy the economy and live in a cave.
Overthrow the Industrial Revolution. And
who's with me?
Yes.
Not I.
But will the government provide a cave for every person?
That is a...
And. If you like your cave, you can keep it.
If you like your cave,
you, guys
you can
rolling,
keep it.
Rolling. Walker Wildman, yeah, we're going to add... We've only got four voices here.
Yeah.
And you know, in order to try to compete with CNN, who has... 10 at night. Cooper Anderson is
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
I like Cooper Anderson better.
Cooper Anderson What's is up, better. I think he would do better. He could be a movie star then.
Yeah.
You know, my name is Cooper Anderson. I've changed it. Anderson Cooper. If you've ever seen him on at night, sometimes when he's got five panelists on the right and five panelists on the left. And I mean,
here I am stuck in the middle with you.
And if we're lucky, one of them is a conservative.
They do have a token on there usually. Yeah. Walker Wildman maintaining our Facebook presence to the world.
Yeah.
We're
on Facebook Live, and I told y'all yesterday after the show, we use y'all down here in the South. It may not be proper, but I told you all yesterday that we had a record number of Facebook Live viewers yesterday during the show. Almost 1,000 people.
Record number.
Yep.
Yeah, almost 1,000 people watching the show.
Wow.
I think people made their New Year's resolutions.
Comb my hair then.
Yeah. It's more people than that voted for Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Watch star.
No, she won the popular vote, Walker.
More Electoral College.
More Electoral College.
She also won the unpopular vote.
I think that people made New Year's resolutions. One of them was they're going to watch Facebook Live Today's Issues.
Huh.
Yeah. It's a noble cause.
I congratulate people for sticking with it for the first 3 days of the year.
Yeah. The resolution. The resolution.
All right. So much to discuss and talk about here on the program on American Family Radio. You can watch us on Facebook or listen on AFR.net. We also have an app for your smartphone or your iPad or your other mobile device, your Android device. I'm not sure what that's called over there. What's it called? What's the equivalent of an app on an Android?
Oh, it's still an app. But you just get
it's
it from the Android
an app.
Market.
It's just short for application.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, get an app on your Android or your iPhone or wherever and listen to American Family Radio anywhere you go. Clear as a bell. It takes you about 1 minute to download. And I know some of you older people are intimidated by the word app. You start looking bewildered because I've seen the look in your eye when I've told you, download the app. And they're going, I'm about to retire. And I go, it doesn't matter. Now is even more time for you to download the app. Get your grandson or granddaughter to download it for you, and you can listen to AFR anywhere, anytime, clear as a bell. All right, Fred Jackson, what's going on in the world?
Well, President Barack Obama, he's back from his vacation in Hawaii, and he's up on Capitol Hill today, and he's going to be giving some advice to his Democrat friends up there on how to keep Obamacare alive. That's his strategy today. And taking him on is Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who's also on Capitol Hill today. And he's encouraging and giving advice to Republican lawmakers on how to get rid of Obamacare. So a very interesting day in Capitol Hill.
Who wins that one, Fred?
Well, I think the Republicans, on the basis that they control Congress now, are going to win that one. Now, they actually started yesterday. Here's the strategy the Republicans are using. They're starting to bring in legislation based and going through the various departments that are used to fund Obamacare. And the House leader, the Senate leader are saying, okay, we need your budgets in the next couple of weeks, and that budget should include getting rid of funding for various aspects of Obamacare. Now, everybody realizes, I would hope that our listeners, we've been talking about this now for a couple of months, that after Donald Trump is coming in, Obamacare is high on his agenda to get rid of. But there has to be the realization out there amongst conservatives that at the end of this month, after Donald Trump becomes officially president on the 20th, Obamacare is not going away.
Yeah.
It's going to take 2 to 3 years probably to wean Obamacare out of the system.
It's tricky business doing mm-hmm. this.
And for the reason is this. There are some people, millions of people, who have signed up because by law— they don't have a choice.
Right.
So now they've signed up contracts for at least the next year, in some cases 2 years, under the umbrella of Obamacare to get coverage, get medical coverage. And so you just can't stop. It's kind of like, you know, stop the Queen Mary on a dime. You can't do that. It's a big ship. And so you have to slowly kind of weed it out of the system. The other challenge is the Republicans are going to have to start coming up with what are you going to do to replace it? And that is going to be a big issue as we go through the Senate Judiciary Committee as they start holding hearings in particular Health and Human Services. What are you going to do? What is going to be the replacement for this? How do you plan to deal with the millions of people who are now dependent on Obamacare?
You know, Fred, my understanding is there were entire companies that stopped
yes.
providing health insurance for their employees
yes.
because of Obamacare.
Yes.
Exactly. They said you just go into the so this is it's when you get something as massive
mm-hmm.
and you know a program as Obamacare is and was when it was passed. You really have to be very careful that you handle the dismantling of it in an organized fashion and still try to provide for Americans the things they like about Obamacare.
And this is and one of the strategies yesterday, and Josh Earnest, the White House spokesman for President Barack Obama, in the debriefing yesterday, one of the strategies you're going to see right now on television, folks, on television news, is they're going to start profiling people who are dependent on Obamacare. This is part of their strategy to try to keep Obamacare alive because it is, as it's been described, the cornerstone of Barack Obama's legacy
right.
is Obamacare. So you're going to see a steady stream of people appearing on nightly TV news, et cetera, saying, woe is me. They're trying to get rid of Obamacare, and I'm going to lose my coverage for my little girl, my little boy. So get ready for this kind of story out there that's going to be a major part of the strategy to try to keep Obamacare alive.
You're saying the media would be liberally biased?
I know it comes as a shock.
Have you guys heard this? What Fred's talking
hey,
about?
No, it's a shock to me. This is
Here it comes.
Wow, so well, they're going to try to – you're saying they're going to try to influence people's feelings based on a sad story that they can find about –
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Democrats, their little tagline for this is potentially damaging. Make America sick again. That's the strategy. You know, it's a playoff. Make America great again. Uh-huh. Well, they're the media is going to carry that water.
Hey, the bottom line here is the bottom line. It's what Donald Trump said during one of the debates that whether you like Obamacare or not, next year I think he cited it will collapse of its own weight. In other words, it's unsustainable. It may have been some people listening may have thought, well, that's a wonderful idea. But sometimes wonderful ideas can't make it physically, and that appears to be what's happened with Obamacare by virtue of all these people's premiums skyrocketing.
Yeah, right.
And also, I remember reading about Obamacare a pretty good bit to the point I was questioning my sanity. You know, why should I keep reading about Obamacare? You know, Tim, do you not have other things you could be doing with your time? But reading about Obamacare and discovering that the insurance companies who suffered losses were going to get reimbursements from the federal government.
That's right. Yep.
You remember that?
Yes.
Because I was wondering, if this is such a bad idea economically, then why are the insurance companies in favor of this? Why are they signing on with Obama and the Democrats? Mm-hmm. Well, if the Congress and President Obama tells you, even if you lose money, we're going to cover your losses, and you have no risk there, then sure, why wouldn't you sign up for something like guaranteed money?
That's right.
But I guess what happened was the deficits that these insurance companies were experiencing were even greater than the government would cover.
Yeah. Because of that aspect of Obamacare that you couldn't reject somebody for pre-existing conditions.
Right.
And so these insurance companies, so you get your premium, $300 a month, but the government's going to subsidize it. Mm-hmm. But the insurance companies said, wait a minute, now this person is diagnosed with serious cancer, malignancy of some type, and this premium doesn't cover this. And the insurance companies, here comes another shock, they're really in the business to make money.
Right.
And so what happened is that these insurance companies started to back away from it. And so you saw states, was it Arizona that's facing 100% increase in premiums this year because the companies that were competing are all getting out.
Right.
So you're running into a mess of things. And
to your point, Fred, it's going to be very difficult to extract our government from this. You're not going to do this overnight. You're not going to do this in a month. Probably going to take a year or two, I would guess, get the government out. And then the Republicans are going to have to introduce their plan to replace this with. Anyway, I think we keep talking about Obamacare. Longer than this, we're going to lose listeners. So, so let's move on to story number two.
Do you want to move on to Hollywood?
Please. Let's do.
Let's move on to Hollywood.
Can't get enough Hollywood.
During the election campaign, I think everybody is familiar. There were Hollywood types out there. They were threatening to move to Canada if you didn't vote.
And other places.
And other places.
They were going to Spain. Cher was going to Jupiter.
Yeah, there.
You remember? She said, no, I'm going to take it further than anybody else. I'm going to Jupiter.
Yeah, but if you don't vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, we know how that went. And now there's at least some of these Hollywood elites who have come up with a video that's out there. Variety magazine featured it yesterday. And this video basically says, lawmakers, you got to be in there. You got to be fighting for us because there's just so much racism in the Republicans. There's just so much anti-Semitism. There's just so much, you name
xenophobia.
It.
Xenophobia.
Go down the isms.
This is the self-importance. You talk about the height of self-importance. Thinking by a group of people. This is Hollywood actors. Some of them are, most of them are has-beens. I'm not going to introduce all the people. Sally Field's voice you'll hear on here. She was an A-lister back in the 60s and 70s. But I'm just saying, what they've done here, in reaction to President Trump being elected, they put together a video that they're trying to get people to sign a petition to the Congress. The Congress, stop Donald Trump and the Republicans, basically, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw it last night, and I laughed because Well, I was mocking it to myself. Can you mock something
privately
by yourself?
Sure.
Abe?
Yes,
is
you
that
can.
Possible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so if I'm sitting on my patio
and you mock it and nobody hears you,
much to your own
did
glee.
You really mock it?
Yes.
If a mocking tree falls in the forest,
and no one hears
or
it,
or mocking
so,
bird.
So I thought people would get a little entertainment bang out of this 1 or 2 minute video, whatever it is. Again, these are Hollywood stars reacting to Donald Trump's victory, and they're appealing to Congress to please stop the man. Go ahead, play it.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
Dear members of Congress.
I'm mad.
Flabbergasted.
Furious.
Concerned for my children.
I'm worried for everyone.
The majority of Americans, regardless of who they voted for,
did not vote for racism,
for sexism, or for xenophobia.
And yet Donald Trump won.
And since he won,
hate crimes are rising.
Women have been attacked in his name.
People of color attacked in his name.
You represent us in Congress.
You are our last line of defense.
So here's what we ask of our elected officials. No, here's what we demand.
To the extent that Trump pursues racist,
sexist, anti-immigrant,
anti-worker, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic,
anti-environmental policies,
we demand that you vigorously oppose him.
We demand that you block nominees who threaten the rights of women,
the LGBT community,
people of color, immigrants, and the poor.
And we want you to know that we are with you.
As long as you do that stuff, we won't remain silent.
We won't remain silent.
We won't remain silent.
We'll work harder to mobilize our votes
and our communities.
But we need you.
And we expect you to have our backs.
To protect our civil liberties and to use your congressional powers
to obstruct.
To obstruct.
Obstruct. Obstruct. Defeat. Anything.
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 Anything that violates our core values as diverse Americans.
Signed. The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority.
The majority
of the American people.
Somebody stop Hitler. Please.
I want to know where I can get that that theme song for my iPod.
That drum beat was pretty.
Boom, 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 oh yeah, boom, 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 boom. Now this the name of the group that sponsored this. Now this ought to be a dead giveaway, okay?
Humanity for
Progress, okay? Which is the successor to the group Humanity for Hillary.
Ding 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 ding.
And then
ding,
when
ding,
Hillary
ding.
Didn't win, they said, "Well, we can't call it Humanity for Hillary anymore. We need to call it Humanity for Progress." So if you disagree with this group, that means you're against progress.
Walker, are you going to put that video up?
Yes, I'll post it on our Facebook page, but also I believe MoveOn.org is somehow in on that video.
Their petition is being hosted by MoveOn.org.
No, they played the drums.
Okay, MoveOn did.
That's their party.
And they're all in blue. I've seen them before.
I'll tell you what the left is better at doing than we are. They're better at naming things. They name Black Lives Matter. Who's going to disagree with that?
Yeah.
They name it the Affordable Care Act.
Pro-choice.
Right.
Who's going to disagree with that?
Right. Marriage equality.
Right. Who's going to disagree with that?
Yeah, they're
humanity
pretty good
for
at that.
Progress.
Non-discrimination.
Are you a part of humanity?
Well,
you want progress.
Well, Thomas Sowell said that if you want to tell people the truth, if you want to help people, you'll tell people the truth. If you want to deceive them, you tell them what they want to hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. We were meeting about this video this morning. And again, I don't know how many people they're going to get to sign up to this. This is Hollywood's desperate.
Not as many as our Target boycott.
Really?
No.
Well, this is their reaction to Donald Trump's presidency. You would think he's Hitler, by the way, right, that they just described that. But, Abe, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What do these people really hope to? Are they just trying to build their mailing list, or what are they really obstruct? They said obstruct. What are they really hoping to do here?
Well, I've said this before. I really believe this is an attempt by the lefties to maintain some semblance of unity, because their party, the Democrat Party, is at a crossroads with determining whether they're either going to become officially the Socialist Party of the United States. And, you know, we have the Elizabeth Warrens, Bernie Sanders, Keith Ellisons of the world being the standard bearers for the Democrats, or whether or not they're going to make some semblance of moderation. And so because they have that great splinter, one thing they all can agree with is that they oppose Donald Trump. So I think they're attempting to use the whatever momentum they think they have in opposing Donald Trump, them highlighting that, well, the majority didn't vote for him, as a means to keep them unified in an issue. And I also said before, it's amazing, and I don't know if we get to it later, with Donald Trump becoming president, as Walker pointed out, their usage of words that were previously anathema, like obstruction, were considered to be great sins, where now you're going to see them using the term obstruction to say, well, you know, Congress is just functioning in its constitutional role as providing a check on executive power. And so it's just amazing that the hubris that they have no shame in the hypocrisy.
I got to ask you, in relation to this video and this whole mantra from the left of just basically making Trump out to be the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is horrible. He's a hateful bigot who's going to take over America with stormtroopers, and we better look out and hide. And, you know, I mean, I guess I don't get the where this is coming from based on fact of his background, that he is a very hateful man who wants to take away the rights of Americans who aren't white people, white males, everybody else he's against. I guess I'm not getting where, with the exception of his comments when he talked about illegal immigrants from Mexico, which he did use a poor sentence structure
right. And
a poor way of wording that. You know, he's talked about Mexicans, and then he said Mexico's not sending us their best. Some of them are rapists. Some of them are murderers. Some of them are drug dealers. What he was saying was we got a lot of criminals coming over. If he had said what I just said, it probably wouldn't have been a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a lot of criminal activity coming over our border that's out of control. He says that, I think it's fine. But when he says what he said, then the left says, see there, you think all Mexicans are bad people. He didn't say that, but he got tagged with that, and it stuck. Now, other than which he apologized for, I think he apologized.
As far as Donald Trump apologized.
Yeah, I don't think he apologized. He just changed his language.
Okay, well, you know what I'm saying. At least he clarified.
I think
most people knew what he was trying to say, even though he said it inarticulately. Now, I don't even know if I said that word correctly, but
you did.
I'm not going to revisit it and try to say it again. But my point is, where does all this come from that he is this Hitler / Stalin reincarnate? I mean, these people, it seemed to me, it would be wet. They better, something terrible better, he better round some people up pretty quick and send them somewhere, or because this is like issuing a tornado warning in the sky and there's sunshine out and you're going, I'm waiting on the tornado you told me about. Go ahead.
Well, facts are irrelevant when it comes to politics, in case we didn't realize it. I mean, they don't care about facts. They really don't. They just want to capitalize on public sentiment to create a narrative out of whole cloth. And they do this routinely.
You get the little boy that cried wolf syndrome that kicks in at some point, where the American people go, you know, you've said he's a racist, bigot, xenophobe, homophobe, gonna take us back to the 18th century, and it hasn't happened yet, and you're losing credibility.
And hence, President-elect Donald Trump.
That's right.
The American people realize that this stuff is a manufactured persona.
It didn't work during the election. It's not going to
work
now.
Going forward.
Listen, this message appeals to California and New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody in the middle.
We're tired of it.
If they were effective, we would be saying President-elect Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
You know, somebody sent me over the weekend the 30 fake hate crimes that were about Donald Trump supporters, and 30 of the top stories turned out to be not even true. We'll be back with more. Todd Starnes on the way.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
As we come up on a new year, we don't know what's around the corner as far as news goes, but I tell you one thing, we will be here to cover it and give it a biblical perspective on today's issues on American Family Radio. We'll keep covering and commenting on the news, and we thank you for listening. And we pray that you will have a blessed and happy 2017.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
After crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, God instructed the children of Israel to take stones from the river and make a memorial. When their future children would say, "What do these stones mean?" the parents would recount the Lord's deliverance of Israel from slavery and Israel's arrival in the Promised Land. In each of our lives, there are events that ought to be remembered, events where the Lord moved and delivered us. Whether we use stones, photos, or special celebrations, it matters only that we take time to remember what the Lord has done and pass that testimony on to future generations.
Since 1977, the American Family Association has been informing, equipping, and activating individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of America. The Lord has given us many victories over the years that laid the foundation for our work today and into the future. Learn more at AFA.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The list of entertainers willing to put politics before patriotism continues to grow. Word from Alabama, the marching band from Talladega College may back out of the presidential inauguration. TV station WIAT says no final decision has been made, but alumni of the historically black school are furious. And a few weeks ago, several of the Rockettes pitched a fit about their planned performance. Some of the dancing girls said they feared being branded as right-wing extremists. So I have a solution to all of this nonsense. Instead of inviting folks like Elton John or Bruce Springsteen or Katy Perry, maybe the Trump campaign could invite some truly A-list talent, like the Marine Corps Marching Band or the U.S. Army Chorus or the Singing Sergeants from the Air Force. Not only are they proud to be Americans, but I can promise you this, military musicians don't lip sync. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano, Tim Wildman, Abe Hamilton, Walker Wildman, the gang's all here. This is my first time back in over 2 weeks, and I'm just excited to be back. Hey, Walker, let our listeners know how they can access what we do here on Facebook.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page and watch live and hear and view all the articles about that we talk about on the show. And for those who are not into Facebook, then you can just go to our website, afr.net, and view all the podcasts and the past shows there. And if you're not into internet, then I don't know what I can say other than just listen to the show on your radio.
Yeah, that's right. And, you can get the app, as we try to encourage people, get the app. So you can, you know, on your portable device, you have an iPad or other tablet or your smartphone, even I guess people do stuff on their iPod. I don't know. People do that much anymore because of their smartphones, but you can listen anywhere that you can get a signal. You can listen to Today's Issues.
My iPod's probably 12, 15 years old.
Your iPod is?
Still got 300 songs on
mine
there.
Mine quit working. Yours still works?
Yeah, my iPod. You talking about that little thing that's about like the size of a battery?
Yeah, they're
tiny. It's got all your songs on there?
Oh, you're talking about like the little nanos and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
my nano stopped working right.
Battery.
I have an iPod.
Your nana?
My nana stopped working a long time ago.
Oh, your nano.
The nano. The iPod Nano. The little small ones, you said.
I remember having one of the first Motorola phones that had iTunes on it. Mm. Motorola and iTunes combined and put, and it was the first mobile device that had an iPod built into it. And it was amazing.
When that iPod, nano and iPod, we're talking about the same thing,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it's a type of iPod.
When that thing quits working, there goes my library of music forever. Uh-oh. Because I don't have, it's not
Not backed up? anywhere?
I don't know where it is. It's been so long ago since I put that on there that
anyway. I'll get up with you afterwards and explain to you. Yeah, work that out. You don't want to lose that music.
Well, you're okay. you can solve that problem?
Oh, absolutely.
He's casting doubt
magic
on Ed.
Magic Ed. you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Walker Wildman and Abe Hamilton. We're all together here in studio at American Family Radio. And Walker, what have you posted so far on our Facebook page?
Well, I posted the story about the Affordable Care Act, or really the non-Affordable Care Act.
Soon to be dead.
Yeah, that the GOP is moving to repeal.
Otherwise known as Obamacare.
Yeah, but the article talks about how it's not an easy process to repeal Obamacare. It's just really a big mess that the Republicans are left to fix.
Right. And it was a part of the campaign. So
yeah,
President-elect Trump, you know, made it an issue. So you've got to assume that, and the way the premiums are and how it's unaffordable, and it's going to crash of its own weight next year, according to many experts.
Yeah, the test will be if the Republicans can stay away from being on defense, because the Democrats are going to blame them. You're taking people's health care away. You know, they're going to paint it as this dire situation. The Republicans cannot take that blame on their shoulders. They got to stay on offense.
I think a lot of Americans would say, please take it away.
Because it's so expensive.
Yeah, because it's
so the premium's skyrocketing.
So expensive.
And will continue to go up.
You know what? I don't know what you do. We can talk about this later, but I don't know what you do exactly about the cost of health care that's going to make everybody happy, because health care is not like anything else. It's not like buying a car. You go shop for a Toyota, Chevy, or Nissan, or Ford, or Dodge, or whatever you want to buy. Shop around, compare. You know, and you can buy it or not buy it. You need a liver transplant. You don't go, you know, I'm trying to decide whether to get it or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kicking the tires.
Yeah.
You know, I'm shopping around. I've talked to three or four doctors. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can afford it. No, you go, I don't care what it costs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to die, so somebody give me the money for a liver transplant.
Right.
And if I don't get it, it's inhumane and uncompassionate. Mm-hmm. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that part of health care is not when people, I hear even conservatives say, well, it's just like any other business. You have to have competition. Well, that's true. I'm sure competition would help across state lines.
Yeah.
It's a complex situation.
But it's not, not ever going to be, quote,
perfect.
It's all, yeah.
You want to, well, no, I was just going to say it's a unique industry, but the management for the cost, like you mentioned, opening up competition for insurers across state lines will go a huge way towards impacting the cost.
Right.
And then you have the fundamental phenomenon that the federal government was never established to be an arbiter of healthcare costs. When you get the federal government, which is bureaucratic by necessity, you get them out of that process, you already make it more streamlined and provide the potential for it to be more cost effective for the citizens.
Also, we as a compassionate Christian nation, this is the only time that liberals want to say we're a Christian nation,
right,
is when we're supposed to pay for everybody's health care. And then they say, I thought you said we were a Christian nation, you can't turn anybody down for this. So somebody has to pay for it. I remember I mentioned this a few years ago. We were walking through the hospital, and we were doing Christmas caroling, my family and I. And then we came into this room where this Hispanic couple were. They were a young couple, and they had a child that was sick. And so they were in the hospital room, and they couldn't speak English. We went in there, and you could tell they could barely understand us at all. And you just knew that they weren't here legally.
Right.
Okay? And so here they are, it really has nothing to do with the ethnicity. It could have been anybody from anywhere. I'm just saying that's the most common thing. So here they are, You know they're probably racking up a few thousand dollars of medical expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know who's? They're not going to pay for it. Right. They're walking out.
They don't have the money.
They're getting treatment. They're walking out the door, and they're on their way. Well, somebody's left with a $5,000 bill.
Right.
If Tim Wildman goes down there, they want my insurance, and they want me to write a check, or I'm not leaving the hospital.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And they will say, when you talk to people in moments of honesty who work, you know, at the local hospital, well, we're charging you X number of dollars for this procedure because not only does that have to cover your expenses, it has to contribute money to the fund that pays for that couple who
walked out of the hospital and didn't pay anything.
That kicks up the cost of your treatments. And that is, you know, that goes, that's
factored
in.
But if you say anything complaining about that, then you're a bigot.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Because you don't want to pay for other people's stuff.
Yeah. You don't have a heart.
Right.
You don't want to pay for everybody's free stuff that they can't afford to pay for, or you don't have a heart.
Right.
You know, yeah. So it's
a. That is such a disingenuous argument because when you're saying that you don't want to be compelled by the government to cover other people's costs, that's not saying what you'd be willing to do in your individual capacity.
Yeah.
In your voluntary capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in charity and charity hospitals. I actually believe in giving doctors tax credits who do work at charitable hospitals. Maybe they already do.
Yeah.
That way you encourage more. And most doctors and nurses would, a lot of them are very, I know a lot of doctors in my life who given free treatment to poor people who couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew that they couldn't afford it and they didn't charge them anything. We all know doctors and nurses who fall into that category. But I'm just saying those kinds of scenarios, which go on by the thousands, if not millions across the country, drive expenses up for everybody. And that's why it's a very hard problem to solve. But they're going to work on it in Washington. You're listening to Today's Issues. Did we lose Todd? He dropped. Todd Starnes, we kept him hanging on for 10 minutes, and I guess Todd has to make money, and and so his time's more valuable. Todd Starnes, are you too good to hang on for for our show, Todd?
I don't want to get the ear cancer, you know.
That was a good one. Because
the cell phone, yeah.
Then Obamacare wouldn't cover that treatment that you're getting there. All right, Todd, we apologize for keeping you holding on there, but when four people start talking, you never know when it's going to stop. But we do want to respect your time, or at least act like we want to. And what's going on, brother? You having a good new year?
So far, but in just a few minutes, I have to go to sensitivity training class.
For what?
You're joking, right?
No, it's like, you know, that's what everybody has to do. You know, you got
What are they going to sensitize you to?
Well,
like,
you know,
sweets or desserts.
I'm a Southern Baptist white guy who shoots guns.
Oh, you're definitely a target. Todd Starr joining us from New York. Todd's with Fox News. And, hey, were you surprised Megyn Kelly's announcement that she's moving over to NBC and leaving Fox?
Well, we really can't talk about that, but, you know, she has just done a tremendous job here at Fox News. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I was on her show a couple of times, so whenever there was really bad weather, they would send me out, and I would do
my guns. It's official now, though. She's leaving. I'm not talking about what you think about it. I'm just talking about, were you surprised? Can you not even say whether you were surprised or not?
No.
Well, I'll quit asking. We don't want to get you in trouble because
I don't know how you interpret.
You're already having to go to sensitivity training.
You're
so
right.
Listen, hey, that's these big corporations. They have their rules. They're trying to protect their brand. I will say this: I always liked Megyn Kelly. You know, personally, I thought she had, you know, kind of drifted a little bit on certain issues, but she was a tough interviewer.
Yeah, she was.
You know, of course, she's an attorney, you know, formerly that was her occupation. She's very tough. And, you know, the fact that she wants to spend more time with her children is admirable. Yeah. And, you know, I wish her the best. I have no hard feelings, you know, towards her.
Hey, so. One other question about that. Does she record? She talked about wanting to spend more time with her children during the during the evening hours, I guess, because that's when her show airs. So her show airs live?
Mm-hmm. It does, okay. Yes.
Yeah, that would get old. Of course, I'm saying that. You paid me $15, $20 million, I could get used to it. You know, I could get used to working nights, yeah. I'll tell you that. But
sorry,
I mean,
sweetie, I won't be home for supper again, however.
Exactly. But I can hire a chef, come over and cook for the family. All right, what are we here to talk to Todd about?
Yeah, Todd, you have an encouraging story out of, I believe it's South Mississippi or parts of Louisiana. Where's that story from?
Long Beach, Mississippi. This is a great story about a group of young kids at a high school. There was a Navy veteran who passed away several weeks ago, 70 years old. He had no family, no friends. And so his body was left unclaimed for a couple of weeks at this local funeral home in Long Beach. And so finally, one of the funeral home workers, her son's at the high school and plays on the football team. And another lady said, you know, something's got to be done here. We just can't let this guy be buried, you know, by himself, just with nobody there for the funeral. So she texted her son, and he reached out to some of his friends, and they immediately volunteered to be pallbearers. And this happened over Christmas break. So these guys gave up a day of their Christmas break to be pallbearers to this Vietnam veteran who had passed away. And it really was just a really moving story to see the patriotism of these young men there in South Mississippi.
Where we got that story? You linking that to?
Yeah, I just posted it on our Facebook page. That is encouraging because, you know, millennials get a hard rap, and I believe you talked about that in your story. But there are good ones out there, and these are some good young men that volunteered there.
Absolutely. And we had a chance to interview one of the kids as well as the two ladies at the funeral home. And they talked about how it was so important to be there to do what they did. And at the end of the ceremony, they actually had the Navy sent an honor guard. And they presented the flag, they folded the flag that was over the coffin and gave it to the funeral home. And the funeral home then gave it to the boys. And it's our understanding they're going to put that flag inside a case and put it, in either the high school or the football team's locker room, along with a little plaque, you know, memorializing the veteran.
You got a book out?
The new book, you can pre-order it now, Tim. It's called The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again.
Leave it to Todd.
And it's a fun book, and you can go to toddstarns.com and you can pre-order it right now. It's a limited edition hardcover, and then when it hits the bookstores, it'll be a softcover book. So we're really excited about this, and we'll be doing a big national book tour, the whole nine yards. And, Tim, your name's in the book.
Really?
I hope that's a good thing.
Well, is this in the description of what a deplorable is? Or
deplorable among deplorables.
King deplorable, of deplorables?
Tim Wildman.
king of the deplorables.
I'm the king of the deplorables.
Well, for those who are listening and weren't paying attention for the last year, where'd you get what does the word deplorable mean? What's that a reference to?
Well, Hillary Clinton gave a speech to an LGBT audience at a fundraiser in New York City, and she referenced people who go to church and people who support the border security and things of that nature. She called us the basket of deplorables, Trump's basket of deplorables. And it really was meant to be a smear, but really people embraced it and sort of said, we're proud to be deplorables. And so that's where the word came from. And the whole point of this book, though, it is a practical guide. Every chapter we're giving the readers practical things they can do to take a stand and make a difference in their community.
How can people get it again?
Then go to toddstarns.com and click on our store button, and they can get the limited edition hardcover copy, or they can also get it. They can order it online at Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Now it'll be in stores on February 7th.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye-bye. Todd Starnes joining us from New York. So what did you put on our Facebook page?
I put a link to a story from South Mississippi. about the teenagers volunteering to carry the veterans.
That was interesting.
That's a great yeah. story.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Abe, what's the story about Ellen DeGeneres nixing Kim Burrell's performance on her show? Now,
yeah, who is she?
Who's most Kim people know who Ellen DeGeneres is. She's right. a television talk show host. She's an outspoken lesbian activist.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Burrell is a fairly well-known singer.
Yeah, Kim Burrell is a relatively popular gospel singer who's appeared on a host of shows. She's known to do lots of different things, and apparently she's also a preacher at a church in Houston, Texas, and during a New Year's Eve service, she preached a sermon discussing homosexuality as a perversion, in light of, Romans 1 and some other scriptures. And she did get rather detailed in the sermon. And
you mean describe? Well, I'll
yeah.
just
well, she
you,
described
yeah, rather
certain
graphic,
acts.
Describing
I'm not
gonna, certain
I'm not
acts.
Gonna get. I'm yeah. not gonna get. What she said was at her church. She called it a perverted homosexual spirit,
mm-hmm.
and she made no bones about it that she's in the Bible teaches that the act of homosexual sex is perversion and is sinful
mm-hmm.
and is immoral. And so she used some graphic
language describing some some of the behavior, and she specifically was condemning how homosexuality is infiltrating the church. That's specifically what she was talking about.
Okay, so somebody got hold of this
sermon,
yeah,
and put it out on the internet.
Yes, put clips of it out on the internet.
Okay. Now we should say that even if people are not aware of the singer, mm-hmm. she's well known enough that she one of her songs was included on the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. of a movie that's coming out. So let our listeners know about that.
That's right, which is why she was booked originally to appear on Ellen DeGeneres' show. There's a movie coming out called Hidden Figures. Hidden Figures that details the contributions of several black women to the NASA space project that were engineers and did a lot of the mathematic calculations that actually set the stage for the U.S. to be able to have interest, space travel, so on and so forth. And so the movie is set to come out next week or so. And Ellen DeGeneres booked Kim Burrell, Pharrell Williams, and some other people that are actually playing roles in that movie.
Oh,
to
she
appear.
Acts in it as well?
She's not acting in the movie.
Okay, but
she was booked to perform her song on Ellen's show at the same time that the headline actors of the movie yeah. were going to appear on Ellen's show to do interviews.
Okay.
So she got canceled because of this. And now, what has been the reaction of... what is your reaction to this?
Yeah, it is once again another example of those who would be celebrities or want to be public figures having to pay the cost of modern day celebrity by capitulating to the sexual deviancy agenda. What's consistently happening over and over and over again is if you want to play, in the Hollywood elite, in the entertainment elite of America today, that the culture is requiring you, they're exacting a cost of you embracing the PC position on the sexual deviancy agenda. So since this sermon has come to light, Ellen DeGeneres has taken to social media to say that she has disinvited Kim Burrell.
Which is her right.
Show, which is her right.
It's her show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
I
don't have a problem with that.
But Kim Davis, but the Kleins can't refuse to bake a cake.
That's the part
right.
that bothers me.
They
right.
You
have all these liberals who are refusing to take part in the Trump inauguration, for
freedom
example.
Freedom of association.
Even including dressmakers, designers who say, I'm not designing a dress for Trump's wife.
A couple
wife.
Of the Rockettes said they don't want to go.
And you know what? That's fine. This is, we want consistency here. But yeah. If you're going to say, I am not participating in the inauguration because I disagree with Donald Trump as a dressmaker, I am not making a dress for his wife for this event, that's fine. Then you've got to say about the Kleins.
Yeah. The Kleins being?
The Kleins being the baker, the small, the couple has had a small bakery up in, I think they were in Oregon,
Oregon.
Who did not want to participate in a homosexual wedding and bake a cake for it.
Yeah.
And they were drummed out of business and threatened with losing everything they have, fined $135,000 by the state of Oregon.
So they were compelled by the state to bow the knee to the LGBT movement.
That's right.
Yeah.
So or either be run out of business, which yeah. they were run out of business.
And they were.
Oh, okay, so I see what you're saying here. What you're saying is when it's convenient for the political left, they say, I have a moral objection mm-hmm. To participating in something that is against my conscience.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. with respect to Donald Trump's inauguration. So they're lauded as people who stand up for their convictions.
Right.
While Melissa Klein yeah. in Oregon, a little small bakery, two lesbians go in and say, bake us a cake for our wedding. And she says, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. They say, all right, we're going to report you to the state. And the state comes in and fines the Kleins and drove them out of business.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the people on the left say, yes, that's good. Put those hateful bigots out of business.
Right.
And so what?
How dare they discriminate?
So we have a double standard.
Absolutely.
Which is yeah. common with progressives and secular humanists.
It's okay to have an objection if you have a left-wing objection.
That's right.
Yeah. If you have an objection based on your Christian values, that's unacceptable.
Like artists who said, we're canceling our performances in North Carolina mm-hmm. because of the bathroom bill. Bruce
yeah.
Springsteen.
Yeah. yeah.
So all the people who had bought tickets to go see Bruce Springsteen, they get denied service, quote unquote,
right.
because Bruce Springsteen thinks it's a good idea for men to go into women's restrooms. And if North Carolina disagrees with that, I'm canceling my...
So he had an objection.
Right. Which I think is his right.
So he can choose where to go.
We just want Christians to have the same right.
And yeah. some of the designers that objected to designing for Melania Trump and some of the artists who are requesting Ivanka Trump to take their artwork off of her apartment walls.
I saw that.
They specifically say that they recognize that their service and their talents are an expression of their philosophical and moral positions.
Right.
That sounds like Baronelle Stutzman's argument.
It sounds the exact same argument.
Who was a florist in Washington
State. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. Well, double standard. Again, I'm just learning so much in this new year.
Yeah.
The liberals don't care about your convictions if they come from a Christian perspective. Only right. if they come from a liberal
secular.
Yeah,
we're about to have the most constitutional law-abiding left that we've had in 8 years, because they're all of a sudden going to be for Congress obstructing Trump, and they're for freedom of association. So this is only if we would have had this 6 or 7 years ago when Christians were being fined and punished for not capitulating.
I tell you, I think a lot of this is about to change, though. I really do. I don't think I'm falsely optimistic. I think a lot of this is about to change. Not that the culture war doesn't go on and the secular left is not still as hostile to Christianity as they have been for the last decade or so. But what we're seeing is that a lot of people, fair-minded people, have had enough of this garbage. The federal judge, we can talk about this when we get back, the federal judge in Texas said that the Obama Justice Department does not have the right to force transgenderism all over the country. Mm-hmm. By decree, and that was refreshing to see. And God bless that federal judge.
Reed O'Connor.
I don't typically say God bless federal judges in the same sentence. I don't want God to condemn federal judges. It's just that many federal judges see themselves as little gods.
Right.
And it's good to note when a federal judge follows the Constitution and does the right thing, as this. We can talk about that more when we get back from the break. We got to pause for news now, and then we got much more to talk about in the next half hour.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.